T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Merlone and Fourier.
My God!
Is that you?
That sounded like the kid who threw the water bottle at Kyrie.
Not me!
The Red Sox lost.
2-run score, and the Astros lead 9-1.
The Bruins lost.
Our breakdowns were bad.
It's losing hockey, Steve, is what it is.
The Celtics.
Schroeder to Smith, three-pointer! Bang! He ties the game at the buzzer!
Lost. It just took them longer to do it. Let's recap. Everybody lost. Except the Revs. Yeah, the Revs won. There you go.
Play the soccer goal.
It's Lou.
I don't know.
Here it comes.
It's Christian.
Yes, come lay down. Come over here. Come sit on my lap. Okay. I'm going to rub you back.
It's Merlone and Fourier on WEEI.
Fourth and final hour here, Merlone and Fourier. Yeah, it was a tough night last night. Go Revs. They won their game like they do pretty much every single week, or their match. I should say on the
pitch. Is it a match? Yeah, the match on the pitch.
Last time I looked at the table, it's not standings, Christian. I don't know if you knew that. No.
It isn't?
It's the table.
Is it really?
They're still running away with it.
Do they have that? You know what? I watch Ted Lasso all the time for all my soccer information. I do not remember that.
Me too.
I was like, oh, I get what they're trying to do.
But, yeah, the
Are
game,
all soccer coaches like that?
They probably carried the most weight and meant probably more than anything was the Red Sox, and they're 9-1. So after 5 innings, Christian Fauquier.
Yeah.
If I told you Sale went 5, gave up 1 run, would you say he has done his job?
Ooh, I would say, man, you got more than I thought you would get. Probably best to kind of, you know, not push it, not risk it. That's enough.
I was shocked he went out for the 6th. I was surprised. I was a little worried even after the 4th when he reared back against Tucker and went snapping out off the mound with 97, 98 elevated. Like, that was a reminder. All these people talking about Sale, like when he first came back, oh, he looks like himself. No. That a bat against Tucker, that's what he is. That's who he is. He's a werewolf with those 98, you know, and just blows it by guys and just you had no chance to touch that pitch. That's who that guy is. I was actually worried about the 5th. Like, I thought that maybe he just sort of reached back for too much and that was going to be it. But it was 7, 8, 9. And I said, okay, you know, and he went 1, 2, 3. And I said, you know what? Perfect. He gave you 5. It's the top of the order. You know, third time through, I don't know about this one. He rolled him back out in the 6th, and nobody was up in the pen, and that was the plan. Going with Sale in the 6th. Now, he stuck with him, but was he throwing well? Sure. And I thought pulling Pavetta in the 4th inning, you know, whatever it was, 5th inning after 65 pitches was the right call. And I thought taking him out in the 5th, you know, would have been the right call. Didn't work out. I don't know if it would have worked out anyways. But I was shocked.
See, the whole Chris Sale is Chris Sale as your reason and your excuse for making decisions.
Yeah.
You know, in high leverage situations, I really feel like is becoming a crutch for Cora. Like, specifically with Chris Sale. And I get it. He's got a good reputation. He's a badass. He's a tough guy.
Why go with him game one? Because he's Chris Sale?
Well, because he's Chris Sale. Yeah. So we heard that like last week. Okay, he's going to start, and he sucked. Okay, so here we go again. So, okay, you have no choice. You're hoping and wondering what you'll get out of him. You get 5. He gives up 1 solo home run, and that's it. And you're like, all right, that was house money. I'm done. But he throws him out again, and he basically says the same thing.
I mean, he was throwing the ball great. There was some weak contact throughout the night. He was on command. You know, the walk put us in bad place, but then we didn't make a play. Then Bregman hits a comebacker to the pitcher, and then Alvarez hits a hit. You know, sometimes we get caught up too much on third time through the order, you know, and he was throwing the ball great. The stuff was really good. He was throwing 97 with a good slider. Did an amazing job early on, and we had Alvarez. Still, he is who he is, but he's Chris Sale. He's a lefty, and, you know, he's made a living getting lefties out.
Oh, man, that line, Lou. He only talks about Chris Sale like this. He doesn't talk about anybody else like this. When it comes to, okay, explaining his reasoning. Like, you want me to, listen, why do I got to explain to you? It's Chris Sale. Like, it's lefty. So what are you talking about? Listen, he was pitching fine. Like, I don't know what – I don't think you need to be a baseball savant. I don't think you need to be Alex Speer to kind of understand where this is going, right? To understand that, you know, you should probably back away. This is about as good as it's going to get. Here comes Altuve. You walk Altuve. At that point in time, I feel like, okay – this, it seems similar to what happened the game before.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, it's seven runs in the ninth. What? Next thing you know, it's run, hit, steal, error by Schwarber. You're like, holy crap, this inning won't end.
See, my thing with him was just that, you know, so he had that last start against Washington. It was like 2 1/3, and then it was, you know, an inning against Tampa. There wasn't many pitches there. 2 2/3 against Houston. I think it was like 60 pitches there. And he was at about, what was he, like 70, 75, whatever he might have been in this going into that inning, 70 maybe. It wasn't bad. It wasn't a big number at all. It's just that given what the last week and a half went, I felt like he was reaching. Like Chris was reaching to give you what he gave. And I thought he was fantastic, by the way. You know, I thought he did. He looked good. It's just that I was surprised. And I guess my biggest surprise right now is I have no idea what's going on with Tanner Houck. Like, I have no idea. Like, he gave you five big innings against Tampa Bay in that sale start early on in the series. And maybe that lineup's a little bit differently. Because with Sale on the mound, I guess, you know, it's still Franco, who actually hit a bomb off him in one appearance. But then there's sort of like Lau, and there's Meadows, and there's a couple of guys there, lefties. This one, I agree, is different, you know, with Brantley and Alvarez and Tucker. So I don't know if this is a bad matchup for him, but I remember kind of getting through those first couple games thinking, okay, you know, Erod, it was perfect. Evaldi did what he did, so then you saved Houck, and he could piggyback Erod if it goes south. Well, Erod threw great, which is outstanding because now you can save Houck, who can piggyback with Pivetta. Well, then Pivetta was great. I said, perfect. You can piggyback Sale with Houck. Like, I just kept waiting for, like, you know, Houck to come in like, the fifth and give you two or three and help the bullpen out, and it hasn't happened. Like, I would have thought, you know, if you had confidence in the kid, and I know the lefty bats are uncomfortable, but, you know, you give him that sixth inning, and it's righty, lefty, righty, you know, and then, you know, then you see where you are. I mean, I don't know, maybe Alvarez comes up with traffic, then maybe it's Taylor for a hitter to get out of the inning. But I felt like there was going to be a two-inning stint, or maybe even three at some point. Now, the starter's pitch has been good, but it hasn't happened. Houck's thrown one inning, and that was in the first game. So I don't know. He's keeping him out of games for some reason. He's going to Ottavino for those four righties in a row at the bottom of the order instead of Houck. So it's like there's a reason why he ain't pitching. I don't get it. I thought he was going to be a weapon. Yeah. He hasn't been used at all.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, that's one issue, I would say. But
I'd rather see him than Brazier. I'd rather see him than Ottavino.
I would say the Chris Sale, you know, getting knocked out in the sixth inning has become the storyline. That and the whistle, and that and the Phantom of the Opera light that was out in center field. That was weird. Okay, but I really feel like the most important thing, you know, was just the fact that they're not scoring. So they've been outscored 18-3 since game three.
Six. Oh yeah, since the game eight, three. Yes,
eight,
yes, yes.
Since
yes,
game
yes,
three,
yes.
18-3. To me, so what is that about? So okay, is it just you know, okay, everybody coming down to earth again? Is it just okay the Astros figuring them out? I would say is it Valdez just having an unbelievable once in a lifetime performance where he pitches eight innings with one run?
He's been good.
Or is it a mixture of all of them at the same time, the perfect storm for the Astros to take advantage of everything?
I hated their approach last night.
Whose approach?
The Red Sox. Offensively, I hated their approach all night long. I think they got away from me. You know, we talk about, you know, they two relying on home runs. 23 of 28 runs this series have been because of the home run. I felt like they were hunting home runs, you know, and they faced the wrong guy for it. They faced the wrong guy. Like, Kike hit a bomb off him, I think, in game one on a curveball, I believe. But it's just like, they faced the wrong guy for that approach. He just came at you with sinkers. His ground ball rate's one of the best in the big leagues. So when you see a sinker baller who gets that many ground balls, he's going to prey on your aggressiveness. He's going to hope you're going up there to launch. Because if you do that, you're going to hit a sinker that's middle and then fades away to the outer half, and you're going to roll over and do ground ball to third, ground ball to short. And that is all we saw all day long. Like, get the sinker up, stay the middle of the field, drive the ball the other way. We've seen that approach from this team before. We know that that's in them. There were sinkers out of half up that we've seen get laced to right center field. We've seen launched into a bullpen before, but they were so pull happy because it seemed like they wanted to be the guy to hit the home run. You know, they wanted to be the guy to get the crowd going. You know, and we talk about that fourth inning, that amazing fourth inning from Chris Sale, striking out Tucker. And I think every Red Sox fan, sorry, felt like this was it. This was the inning. You got top of the order, Kike, Schwarber, you know, Bogarts. And what was it? It was Kike, ground ball to third. Schwarber, ground ball to second. Bogarts, ground ball to second. You know, they all, I felt like, got out of a successful approach, stay up the middle with a sinker ball. That is just textbook 101. And they felt like they wanted to hit the home run. And because of it, they rolled over and made it easy all day. He was fast sinker all day long. And they got him. Yeah, they got him. So it was, I don't know. I don't know where you turn right now. You know, we'll get into it. Red Sox fans, what do you think? Is it over? Is that it?
Are they Dunsky?
I mean, I feel like every time you feel good about this team, they lose. Like a couple in a row.
Yeah.
And every time you think they're Dunsky, they win. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like they're an awful front-running team. Don't tell these guys you think they're good or whatever. Just tell them they suck. I'll tell you what, you're Dunsky. There is no way no way you can go down there, play Houston and win two. Well, I'll say it right now. How's that? Good. Use it. I don't care.
You suck.
Figure it out. I called you Dunsky going into Washington after what I saw, after praising you and how you're a great team. You lost 5 of 6. Dunsky, go to Washington and sweep them. They lose to Tampa Bay in game one and say, well, it's a good season.
That's a good
Tampa's
team.
Tampa's just a better team. Yep. Boom. They win 3 straight. Game. I mean, it's like it doesn't end with these guys. So I'm not ready to declare him Dunsky. Oh, no, I am. Should
no,
I?
No, no, no,
I
no,
play
no,
my
no,
game
you should.
For myself.
No, you should. No, no, you should call him Dunsky because that's what you're getting from them. Like, this is their sweet spot. J.D. Martinez, nobody believed we could be here anyways. Been the story of the whole year.
It's
really?
All year
first
this
half
team.
Of the season,
the
though, but you thing. Were in first place.
The same thing.
Okay, but then you go on to, yeah, so good. This is their sweet spot. Their backs are up against the wall. Nobody believes them. Oh, my God, I can't believe you convinced me to care. You convinced me to sing that stupid Mr. Brightside song. Like, now I'm all cut up in it, and I blame you. Like, you can hear it. You can see it. See how quickly it turns, though? How quickly the pendulum swings?
Yeah, yeah.
On one, like, a couple days ago, it's, holy cow, how can I get to Fenway?
Yeah.
Now you're like, holy crap, that sucked.
They may never come back. Let's go to Steve in Connecticut. Steve, what's going on? You're with Lou and Christian.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Just quickly on the Red Sox, I would rather see Robles being used as a closer. I don't like the idea of bringing like Eovaldi in the late innings. Why can't we have an established closer? Robles used to close for the Angels. I know he's not amazing, but don't you agree we would feel better having, you know, someone in that slot ready to close out the games? You know, instead of just anybody, you know, whoever's available.
Well, if you had a shutdown closer, I would be, Steve. But and this is the whole thing, we go on reaction. You didn't like Eovaldi coming in to close the game? You didn't like a starter closing a game?
I think that for the pitching staff, it would be better if we had somebody established who is ready to close out the game and save him for that opportunity. If you have to bring him in the eighth inning, that's fine. But what's up with bringing in Eovaldi and expecting him to save the day? We have a bullpen. Let's use the bullpen.
Okay, Steve, thank you very much. It's amazing. Have people watched 2018? Did anybody watch the World Series or the playoff run when Price closed?
Ooh,
and
Sale closed?
Porcello and Sale and Eovaldi and every starter they had closed games.
Probably.
I didn't hear anybody upset that with starters closing back then when they won a World Series.
That's not traditional. I don't get it.
Now it's a huge mistake, and now Eovaldi can't pitch Game 6. And I saw Rosenthal, like, you know, ripping Alex Cora for using a starter as a closer. Like, Kenny, I mean, what are we doing? You covered the World Series a couple years ago. Nobody was bitching about this then. When Eovaldi came in, did you feel bad?
Felt great.
I mean, how do you feel bad?
You feel bad after
like
he gave
Robles,
it up.
Like Robles. Here's the real issue, to be honest with you. The series really should be over if the guys you were counting on did their job. You're up 3-1 in the sixth with Houck on the mound. He gives up a 2-run bomb. It's a tie game with Robles on the mound. He gives up a bomb to Correa. You know, you're up 2-1 with Whitlock on the mound in game four, and he gives it up. It's tied 2-2, and Eovaldi gives it up. Like, I mean, those four guys you're relying on. The only one that hasn't joined the party is Brazier, and he's given it up, just not in one of those moments yet. And we said before, wins got to be in the books. Like, you winning in that 6-7, got to be in the books. So why are you losing? Sure, the last two games you're not hitting. But even though you didn't hit in game four, that still should have been in the books, up 2-1 in the eighth. I know it makes you feel uncomfortable, but this is the big leagues.
Yeah.
You should close out games when you're winning.
And it hasn't been, and when they do lose it, it's been this just unbelievable collapse, man. It happened so fast. Can't you feel it? Like, because I would say if I'm one of the players, I'm like, okay, I know it's coming. I know they're going to have some sort of, like, you know, offensive, like, outburst, okay? Can we kill it? Can we stop it before it gets out of hand? Like, okay, fine. Let them get a couple runs. Don't let them get seven. And if they do, we got to answer. Like, to me, that's ultimately, you got good bats. You got good hitters. We talk about the lineups, both lineups. Okay, who's got a better lineup? It's a push. Okay, now let's talk about the managers. Okay, Cora. Okay, now you start talking about the bullpen and the starting rotation. You go, depends.
No, like, I'm with you.
So answer. So that to me is like the ultimate, like, slap in the face. You had three grand slams in a row, and suddenly you can only muster three runs.
I mean, they're hitting grand slams, and they're putting up big numbers, and then, you know, you're sitting there 2-1 in the eighth. It's 2-2 in the ninth, and they drop a 7 spot on you. You know, a 7 spot. Like last night, it's 1-0 in the 7? Sixth, and they drop a 5 spot on you.
That's
not
ridiculous.
Just one. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you're fine with the one. And then, so it's, and Schwarber was that big error that inning. Like, he's just trying to do too much. Like, he looked spooked out there at first base the other day. And it makes you wonder if they're going to move him off of it, you know, in this next series out in Houston. But, you know, that swing and bunt, that out where he's catching the ball, looking at Altuve. It's like, dude, you're not throwing the ball across the diamond. You don't do that for a living. Just catch the baseball. It's man on third, one out. And let's see what happens. It's a 1-0 game. Okay, sack flies, 2-0. Let's go. Instead, you try to do too much. And now the inning starts to get away from you a little bit. You know, I didn't like pitching to Alvarez. I understand it, but he would have got up with two outs and maybe you're a little more careful. I don't know. The whole thing just unravels really quick. And we said it with this lineup. They can do it, man. They can do it. Anthony, New Hampshire. What's up, Anthony? Go ahead.
Hey, guys. So here's where I think everybody kind of, you know, gets flip-flopped when the Red Sox do good when we think they're going to do bad, or do bad when we think – I think we just – most of the Boston fans, at least, it seems like, gives up too quick. I just feel like this was never going to be an easy series, no matter how great it looked. The Astros were never going to just sit down and take it. So when this happens and these two games back to back, you know, look bad, we give up on them. I don't understand that. It's playoff baseball. Anything's going to happen. Nothing's guaranteed. That's just my thoughts.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's not over. We said yesterday, whoever wins this game, it's not over. You know, if the Red Sox won, I wouldn't have said it's over. I still don't think it's over. You know, you win game six, you have Evaldi, it's your guy. If you win game six, you roll into game seven. I mean, it's game seven. It's chaos. Everyone but Evaldi is pitching. It's everything.
There's your must win. Well, must win is tomorrow, technically.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
Finally. You can really say, this is the one time you can say, is this a must win?
This is
it actually is.
This is definitely a must win.
Because if you don't win it, you're done.
Yeah, let's go to Wally in Rhode Island. Wally, what's up, man?
Hey, Lou, how you doing, Christian?
Yo.
Hey, Lou, quick question for you. You're the baseball guy. Back in the Tampa Bay series,
yeah.
Alex Cora said that, you know, he had a question. Why do you bunt these guys over? He said, you know, sometimes you got to generate runs and go old school. They had first and second, no outs against Valdez, who they were doing nothing against. And Hunter Renfroe is batting .077. Why wouldn't they bunt him over? And now Valdez has to have a whole different thinking of how to pitch Verdugo. He can ground out, get the base runner in, sacrifice fly, get the base runner in, hit the ball down the right field line, get a couple of runs. Why didn't he go old school when they weren't doing anything against Valdez?
So that was the fifth inning. First off, Renfro's not bunting. Like, he's not going to bunt. He doesn't bunt. I mean, it's like, you know, they don't bunt anymore. The only guy that I'm going to be bunting is Christian Arroyo. The old school baseball was the ninth inning when you were tied. You know what I mean? Arroyo bunts. That's who he is. He's a nine-hole hitter for the top of the order. Kike probably could bunt. I don't think Renfro can bunt. The only other option was the fifth inning was to pinch hit Danny Santana for him and to say, get a bunt down. You know, and then now he's in the game. So get a bunt down. Maybe you can pinch hit for him later and with Verdal back, and then he can go to first, or, you know, he can move the outfield around. So you could have done that. But, and I, as bad as Renfro is, and I don't know what they're going to do here. Like, someone's like, you're not getting him. Okay, until he leaves a sinker up and in, and Renfro leaves the yard, or hits a double off the wall. You know, like, I've seen this before. I think it was in, so 90, was it 99? 99. Troy O'Leary was like 0-13 in the playoffs. He wanted to bench himself. And then he had two home runs and knocked in 7 RBIs in game 5. You know,
That'll work.
I mean, I'm just saying, I've seen it before. Like, you know, he's not
hot.
Yeah,
but, you know, okay, so I agree.
Everybody wants Dahlbeck in there. When's the last time Dahlbeck's got a hit?
No, no, I get it.
And that'd be just like hope. That would just be like, well, whatever, he's due.
Well, I like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
It almost worked last week. Cowboys and Patriots.
I actually think if Dahlbeck plays first base, it has more to do with getting Schwarber off first. Because I think that throw spooked him, because later on in the pickoff throw, he just missed it and it hit the runner. It was in the air and he missed it. And I'm like, oh boy. Like, it's speeding up on him big yeah. time. And if there is a move, and I think it has just as much to do as Dahlbeck getting him off first base, than it is about getting Renfro out of the lineup. So, all right, let's go to
Jonathan.
All right, Jonathan, like what's this. Up, buddy? Jonathan in Brookline. Go ahead, pal.
Hi. So, hi. A lot of people are saying, like, you know, we have to win two games in Houston.
Yes.
But if you really think about it, just think about it one by one.
I'm with you.
Like, next, like, we have Eovaldi on the mound against Garcia. We mm-hmm. can easily win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next game, we have Erod, who's mm-hmm. been pitching great in the playoffs.
Yep.
So
I'm with you.
I think,
so the Sox so are not Dunsky.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll say this. It would be a big one tomorrow night because they're rested. And they got the kid Christian Javier. He can go two or three out of the bullpen. Graven give you two and Presley. So they will wear those guys out to try to pull that game out if it's close. And if you're able to pull that game out and sort of not make Javier available for game seven, okay, now we're sort of talking like you got to swing the bat. Period, you got to swing the bat. Right? I mean, you got it. You just can't sit there and let a guy go eight innings.
Three hits.
What did you think of Frambeer last night?
Well, I mean, what part of Frambeer are we talking about? The fact that he was sweating his ass off and it looked like there was some shenanigans going on?
I want you to listen to the booth. I believe okay. this is what, the third, top of the fourth? In that range, top of the third?
Dugo or Royale.
My guys in the booth, Joe, Will, and Sean, talking about one, Frambeer Valdez, who was very good last night.
Now let's just say this. Every time Frambeer gets a new baseball, every time he touches his left neck, every single time.
Raising a suspicion, perhaps?
I mean, his curveball's better. It's back.
It is.
Well, he hasn't thrown that many of them.
0-2, grounded foul to the backstop as he waited on that curve.
There we go, baseball, left neck.
Yep, he just did.
It's unbelievable.
Or actually,
cheek
between
maybe?
His eye and his right
there
near his eyebrow,
again.
Yeah,
like his temple.
Yeah,
the temple. Exactly, that's the area. It is uncanny to watch him go to his temple after every new ball is put in play. Could be a nervous habit.
Well, he does have sweat there. It seems
mm-hmm. everywhere except the place that he touches.
Ooh,
that would misses one and one, missed yeah. up and away.
Alex has said he is not going to check. He just feels like he's not the guy to do it. This would be a night I would do it.
Mm. Wow.
Would you make
it? I feel like he's on. I feel like Will would be the type of guy that would, you know, kind of like, you know, CSI Boston that would kind of figure this out. Like he, because he, look at it. He's not like a conspiracy
theorist. I've never seen.
But he was pretty, you know, all of them.
Yeah, get out of here with that nonsense.
Get out of there, Will. I'm with you. I've never, I can't speak to his sweating habits, but I've never seen a guy sweat so much in 60 degree weather in a fall day.
It was a nice day.
60 degrees.
It was mild.
More than Aroldis Chapman.
But I mean, he's pitching late too. And it's like, you know, now that you know, Chapman is ridiculous dripping, but that's usually summer.
They're using the same stuff.
But I'm just saying like 7 o'clock, we know what it's like. 6:30, the sun's going down and the man's out there sweating. It's like 55 now. You know, it's like, what are we doing? It's sweat everywhere.
It was. I know they're kind of talking about, like, it seems like he's sweating all over the place, like even the front view. And on the side, it's almost like the sweat kind of, you know, goes around the area where right. may, something may be.
I'll say this. Do I think that maybe he was doing something? Like a little sunscreen or whatever
sure.
the hell it was? Yes. Yes, I do. Now, do I think Major League Baseball has turned a blind eye to it in the last month or so? Yes. Yes, I do. It's like after the first couple weeks, listen, we're going to check your hat, your glove, and your belt when you walk off the field. I'm going to say that to you again. We're going to check your hat, your belt, and your glove.
Wait, so
one more
only
time.
My
I'm going to check your hat, your belt, okay. and your glove. Okay, oh. fine. I'm not checking the right leg if you're a right-handed pitcher. I'm not checking your left leg if you're a left-handed pitcher. I'm not going to check your right left wrist if you're a right-handed pitcher. I'm not going to check the back of your neck. I'm not going to check your
so
chin.
So what are you really going to check?
I'm going to check your glove, your belt, and your hat.
Oh.
Hey, I don't too many questions.
And so I'm just saying, like, would it surprise me if he's using? No, it wouldn't. Would it surprise me if the Red Sox have been using? No, you know, it wouldn't at all. Not at all. And I think that's one of the reasons why I don't think there's that big of an issue. Was his curveball back? Yeah, but his sinker was better. His sinker's the one that beat you. Like, that was the one that beat you. Like, I don't know. You tell me. Pavetta's curveball back?
Yeah.
So I'm just, I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying, like, think in baseball, I just think it's sort of like, all right, we're in the postseason. Once again, I'm checking your hat, your belt, and your glove. Okay, I'm just letting you know. I'm going to remind you again before the game starts. Well, I might walk in the locker room and say, I just want to remind all pitchers. Hat, belt, glove.
So, we'll see, that goes into the whole, you know, listen, I know you're doing it. I know I'm doing it. And, you know, and also the fact that it's not like Cora wants to, I'm sure it's probably uncomfortable for him to kind of call anybody out. I feel like he would feel uncomfortable doing that. Sure. Even if he feels like 100%, I guess he would have to be 100%. To kind of go out on the limb, really, because what if he's wrong?
Well, exactly. Start checking, you start looking like a fool. So, listen, I you know, it is what it is. Valdez, was he doing? I don't know. You know, are these guys doing it? I don't know. I don't really care too much about that stuff. But are you whistling?
Are you?
Are the Houston Astros back at it again? There's a lot of whistles at these ball games. Maloney and Forey, we'll do it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, welcome back to the MFers. Let's get right to your calls. Let's go to our boy Wayne out in Southie. Wayne, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? I just got to say this. This is what I just seen happen the last 2 nights. I just can't understand it. This is the number one thing I want to know. How in the hell do you hit 21 home runs in 3 games and then come out in the next games and hit nothing? Nothing.
Good question.
You can't even get the goddamn ball out in the field.
So you think they're Dunsky, Wayne?
Oh, they're Dunsky. It's over. I said it. If they lose there, they're not going back to Houston and winning. It's over.
All right. Well, that's what they need, Wayne. That's all right. I understand. It's because they're trying to hit home runs off a sinker ball pitcher. That's what I felt like last night. They got away from their approach. They got home run happy against that guy. That was the first night I think it really paid the price.
Man, the dude was out there for 8 innings. Like
eight innings.
Nobody's saying anything to anybody?
Just throwing sinkers. There you
left
go.
And
down
right.
The middle, move a little outer half. I'll get you to roll over to third, roll over to second. Thanks. Nobody wanted to go the other way. Justin in Providence, what's up, man?
What's up, boys? Man, tough one last night. Real quick, man, Game 4, I was not mad AC bringing in Evaldi at the end of the game. That's your best pitcher, and we don't have a closer. The game's not like that anymore. Wasn't mad at all.
True.
Whitlock gave it up. It is what it is. Game 5, man, AC, what are you doing putting Sale in the 6th, man? You seen him. He was throwing 97. Command was there. Right off the rip, he goes into the 6th. Altuve. Dude. Were you not watching the first inning and the second time he hit him off the monster? Man, what are you doing? Take him out of the game. Where was Elk? I have no idea why he did not put Elk in. And everything fell apart. I felt like I had a house of cards up. Houston comes around the corner and just blows them all down. Thank you very much. Man, I need to see Elk game 6 tomorrow. Evaldi on the mound Friday. Let's go. Garcia, man, he's a rook. Bats need to show up. Defensively, we need to stay apart, man. I got hope. No problem.
All right.
One game at a time.
All right.
Let's go.
Appreciate it, Justin.
Okay.
Yeah, Garcia, we don't even know if his knee is healthy. We have no idea. So game 6 will be interesting. We'll see. All right, the Houston Astros, are they whistling again from the dugout?
Are they cheating again? Yeah.
Now, and I say whistling again because this was an issue back in 2019 when they played the New York Yankees in the ALCS. The Yankees asked Major League Baseball to investigate the Astros for whistling. to convey signs in the American League. Apparently, the league came out and announced there was no evidence in the wrongdoing and left it at that. As it turns out, the reality of the situation was a bit more complex. So, apparently, third base coach Phil Nevin and others accused Astros hitting coach Alex Citron of whistling and giving batters pitch selection. And I believe from the report that they confirmed that there was whistling. They just couldn't confirm the source. So this has sort of been an issue. If you remember, even the Mets this year were accusing the Yankees of whistling in the dugout. Lindor was accusing them of it. An executive from another team, quote, they've been doing it for years, talking about the Houston Astros. It's something that I can't ignore, right? Because you can hear it clear as day, yeah. And you're hearing a lot in big hits. Play the Alvarez, the home run off of Chris Sale, you know, in that, was it the second inning, actually, whatever it was.
But just 9 pitches in the first inning, and Yordan Alvarez hits the ball into left.
So if you didn't hear it, right before Joe Buck starts to speak, you hear this loud whistle.
But just 9.
There it is. Easy to hear that time.
And you've been hearing it a lot, and there's an account, Twitter account, Astros Whistler, whatever. I forget what it is. I just saw it this morning.
Whistleblower?
Whatever, yeah. And he has a lot of videos up there, and it's not just in this series. It's different series. I saw one from, like, opening day in Houston, you know, on an Alvarez home run, and you heard the big whistle. So my question is I'm not denying the fact that there's whistles. Because I don't know who whistles at that time at a ballpark, like, all the time. You're at Fenway Park, and there's a pitch about to be thrown, and you're like, I'm going to whistle right now. So I don't understand how it's being executed, you know, because there's no more live feed from the dugout, you know, in the runway kind of thing down in the staircase. I don't know if a pitcher is tipping. Could there be somebody in the dugout whistling, you know, and sitting in back in the bench that's sort of giving it out? But you can't ignore that there's some whistles. There's whistles there. I mean, Altuve, right? He hit that home run off of Whitlock. This one's a little bit harder to hear, but there's a whistle there again.
First up against Garrett Whitlock. There it goes to left.
So, I don't know. They have this whistle, whether it's like one whistle is a fastball, two whistles a breaking ball, whatever it might be. I'm just trying to figure out how they would execute it. I'm not denying that they're there because they're there. And it's not just in this series. There's other ones that people putting videos up different. You hear this same whistle all the time.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be easy to kind of figure out where it's coming from?
I would think. I mean, if I'm Raffy Devers,
it's pretty freaking
and I'm playing
loud.
Third base, I'm just like, I'm sitting right pitches about, I hear a whistle. Like, if I'm aware of it, I'm like, I keep hearing a whistle over here, you know, and whatever, and big pitches, you know, and balls are leaving the yard.
Yuli Gurriel drives one.
That one's easy.
That was Gurriel last year?
Mariners game, yeah.
This year?
Yes.
Yeah, this year. I mean, I'm just saying, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of videos of just random at-bats throughout the year where you're hearing this whistle, like, all the time. I just don't know how it's being executed. I know they put up a picture of, like, the Fitbit that Dusty Baker was having. Like, come on.
That's not it.
Dusty, somebody's like, I work on Fitbit, and they can vibrate on fastballs, and he can really, yeah, okay. So Dusty Baker, with the camera's on constantly, and Alex Cora, the camera's on constantly. When his wrist vibrates, he's then turning around, giving the sign for the guy to whistle, or he's whistling himself. I don't buy that at all. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know how they're executing it. But I can't deny the fact that you hear it all the time on big hits. I don't get it.
I feel like it just seems pretty ballsy to attempt something like that if you're the Astros with all the attention that is on you over the last 2 years. And you're going to come into Fenway playing against the guy that was part of the first issue that got everybody fired in with the Astros. Like, really? Like, you would make it that obvious, that loud? Like, you're just daring somebody to call you out, aren't you?
Here's the thing. So, if a pitcher is tipping, the issue is your third base side. I don't know how you see the lefty. You know, if I'm going to pick a guy that's tipping, I need to see that side of him, the other side of him. I need to be in the first base dugout to see the lefty. Third base dugout to see the righty. And maybe I can see the grip. You know, that. You know, sometimes the hitter has a better view of a pitcher that's tipping pitches by certain glove placements or movements. Sometimes the bench has a better view. Sometimes the third base coach has a better view. Or the man on second has a better view. You know, if a guy like Barnes, to be honest with you, a knuckle curve. Sometimes at second base, he just shows you. You see the grip. You know, I expect that guy in second base to relay that to the hitter. That's just expected in the game if I see it. So if a pitcher is tipping and they're whistling from the dugout because they're seeing it from the pitcher, be better. Like, be better. Like, you know, if they figured out your sign sequence, then change it up more. Like, be better. You know what I mean? The only way it's an issue is if somehow they're using some electronic devices to travel this thing fast like they were doing with the can, you know, and the live feed and banging it on with nobody on base and one sign given from the catcher. That's wrong. But I just don't know how they would do this. But they're whistling.
It's obvious. So something's going on.
It's a lot of whistles.
It's too consistent. There's too much evidence of it of it obviously working. Because I would say, show me a whistle where somebody, you know, struck out. Like, the only whistles we hear are when guys get hits or get home runs.
Right. I mean, as good as they're hitting, again, it is 1-0 in the sixth. As good as they're hitting, it is 2-1, 2-2 in the eighth. You know what I mean? It's not like they put 24 runs on your ass or put up six in the first, right? Like, Sale did blow fastballs right by Correa. Was he pissed at someone for not giving him the signal? You know, so I don't know.
So, Tyler, give me. You said there's another one where somebody struck out?
Yeah, this is Alex Bregman, the ALDS in Chicago.
2-2.
One whistle, struck out with a fastball. Dylan Cease.
Oh, man, I don't know.
You can know the pitch, but you still got to hit it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That doesn't really prove anything.
Right.
Like, if I whistle for you, Christian, are you going to nail a 97-mile-an-hour fastball over the monster?
I remember I was talking about, like, E-Rod, like, he's tipping his pitches because there's, to me, there's red flags. There's guys laying off pitches that they shouldn't lay off of. There's balls that you're hitting that you should not hit, or vice versa. I don't blame Altuve for taking a ball middle from Whitlock and hitting it out of the ballpark on the first pitch. That's what he does. First pitch fastball. You throw it down the middle, he's going to launch. So there could be a whistle all you want. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? So Alvarez, that ball he hit off Sale, that one's fishy. That ball's a foot outside. That ball ain't even close. And he jumped all over that one. So, I don't know. We'll see. All right, listen, more calls are lined up. We'll answer a few more of your calls. And we also got last call. That's coming up next. All right, welcome back to Maloney and Foria. Right to your calls. Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. Matt, what's up, man?
Yeah, on the whistle thing, you know, it takes away a little bit about, you know, the Red Sox not hitting the ball the last couple of games, obviously. But here's what Houston knows, that MLB looked into this and didn't really release anything. And they know they're coming to Boston and Alex Cora is not going to call them out. The exact same whistle. I just listened to the White Sox games and, you know, it's there. So just my point is this, Christian, you said it'd be pretty ballsy and I agree. But when you listen to Carlos Correa speak, I mean, you guys are pretty defiant, like him. You know, Bregman, and, you know, I totally think it's happening, but, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not going to make a difference in the series. And, you know, I mean, it already has, but you know what I mean? It's not going to stop the series and stop the whistling. So, you know, they just kind of win these next two games. So yeah. We'll see what happens, but it's been a good ride.
Yep. Well, we'll see.
Oh, it's been a good ride. You think it's over.
See, we were just talking about this during a break, and it's like, you know, what do you do if you're the Red Sox and you're sort of aware of this thing and you have an off day and you know, this is getting more tension and all of a sudden you have somebody sort of match everything up and try to go through the games and you find something's going on. There's nothing you can do. I mean, you notify baseball maybe at some point, but as far as the rest of the series go, you'd be better. You figure out how they're doing it. You figure out what they're picking up, and whether it is a pitcher tipping signs, whether it is a sequence of signs, whatever it is, you have to just be better the next two nights. Yeah, and if it takes, you know, changing signs more often, then so be it. Changing sequences, then so be it. You know, whatever sequence, who's on the mound? Evaldi. Whatever you've been using in game two and then out of relief, we're going to do just something different. And, you know, so to me, there's nothing you can do other than change things up and get it done yourself. John in Maine, what's up, man?
What's up, Christian and Lou? Yeah. I don't think the Red Sox are Dunsky. It's just really not part of this team's DNA to fold up. Mm-hmm. If that was the case, they would have been eliminated a month ago. There's been multiple times where they could have just folded up and tacked it in, but they haven't yet. They need to change their approach on hitting. They swung at way too many balls yesterday. Everybody's trying to kill it. As long as they do that and they get back to hitting as a team, I still think they have a chance in this series.
All right, John, appreciate it. By the way, real quick, this hour of Maloney and Foria is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Garcia, we still don't even know if his knee's healthy. The guy came out after one inning, remember?
Yeah.
He hurt his knee, and they said, well, he took it through a bullpen, changed some things mechanically.
Structural damage.
And now his knee doesn't bother him anymore. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm not buying that. But they have everybody available, given what Valdez did for them last night. They have everybody available. Christian Javier, he's available. Graveman's available. Pressy's available. Eight strong innings from Valdez last night. Let's go to Matt Walpole. Matty, what's up?
Hi, what's going on? I just wanted to say about Valdez, because I think that everyone kind of thought that he was using the sticky stuff last night. I looked it up on Baseball Savant. His spin rate data is all there. He just pitched a lights-out game. Yep. But I will say about the whistling, I think that's got some merit to it. And I think the Astros know that not only does MLB have a track record of making decisions that are just against the best interest of football, baseball, I think they also know that MLB would rather close their eyes than have to admit that maybe they didn't do enough the first time around. And I think they're just doing it again with confidence.
All right. Well, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see what they how they feel about it. If it's true, if you look into it, I don't know. I mean, if a couple teams.
What does that even mean, though? The only thing is that sucks is that there's really no recourse other than just being more careful.
Got to be more careful. That's all.
Like, you can't, like, hit the game back. Can't, you know, take the runs off the board. Yeah.
I mean, they're using multiple signs with nobody on base, and that's for different reasons. Obviously, for banging trash cans. Like, nobody's on. 3, 4, 5 signs. You see it all the time. And a lot of it has to do with coaches on the sidelines. You know, first base, third base. That's where a lot of it comes from, too. You know, different signals. Sometimes, you know, first base coach, if you're a right-handed hitter, I can peek over there. And if he gives me a clap, maybe I know that's a fastball. If he doesn't, I know it's an off-speed. If he's standing close to me, I know it's something. If he stands far away from first and he starts backing up, I know it's something. Or if he's, you know, if I see him in the middle of the box walking towards me or walking away, like, you know, so there's certain things you want to try to keep from them as well. But you got to be better the next 2 days if that's the case. Tom in New Hampshire, what's going on, man?
Hey, Lou, Renfro, I know he had a pretty good year, and he's not big money, but he drives me nuts. The guy, that ball in the ninth inning, game four the other night, I mean, Correa didn't run hard out of the box, and he thought he was going to be caught. Renfro goes back in a ball with his arm over his head, never takes his head off, eyes off the ball, and turns around and takes a couple steps. I don't think I've seen him catch a ball with his back to the bullpen wall all year. I mean, Dewey was a big guy, but he wasn't the quickest thing. You know, could you give him a crash lesson on how to go back on a ball? And then, then last night, they finally get something, first and second, no outs, he's up, he's got 2-0, and you're right, Lou. I mean, the guy's looking for a ground ball, and Renfro's up there trying to jack it out to the left. I mean, he's trying to get you to the ground ball for double play, go to right field, the damn ball. He just seems like the dumbest ball player there is.
They all did that in that lineup. They all did. He should have caught that ball. Would have been a great play, but I thought he had a chance of catching it. All right, let's do some last call here. Last call brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. You can donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or give them a call at 1-877-CARS-4KIDS. Talking an awful lot about whistles lately. Kind of reminded us of this video. Remember 2003? This is viral video. It was from TV out in San Francisco. It was about our guys, Bub Rub, I believe. Listen to it. You'll know what I'm talking about.
Nearly every muffler shop in Oakland is installing Whistler tips. It's a piece of metal welded inside the exhaust pipes that makes the car audible for almost a mile.
Tell me about the whistles.
The whistles go whoo.
It sounds like what?
Well, you want a whoop whoop. It's that whoop whoop. You know what I'm saying? Then you got the flows. They didn't trip off the flow masters.
That decoration, man. It's just for decoration. That's it. And that's all, man. We do it for decoration.
You have it on your car?
Yeah, I got it on my car.
It was being installed on their car. Roxanne Brun says the high-pitched tone, like the squeal of a BART train that doesn't stop, is keeping her awake at night. Police have told her it is legal. Bub Rub and Little Sis were proud to show it off.
Some neighbors are saying way too loud.
That's only in the morning. You're supposed to be up cooking breakfast or somebody, and so that's like an alarm clock. Woo, woo!
Woo, woo!
Whoop, whoop.
By the way, before we go, this is from Howard Eskin, our buddy out there in Philadelphia, talking about Ben Simmons. So today, I guess, went in there, said his back's bothering him. According to sources, Ben Simmons is faking an injury and mental illness. He came in today and said that he had back stiffness and mentally not ready to play. Mental illness is a serious issue. Team is livid. Simmons went down that road. Team plans to fine him every game. Even better, Daryl Morey. GM of the Sixers, whatever. Radio interview confirming what's been widely believed. He will not be pressured into trading Ben Simmons. Quote, people should buckle in. This is going to be a long time.
Dude, so he's saying screw it. So this is it.
I'm
this
not
is
giving
where
you what you want.
He's not so long. I feel like Ben Simmons, maybe we can get in it later, maybe tomorrow, is doing this wrong.
Mental illness. Everybody feel bad for me.
Yeah.
And they don't believe him. And they're pissed off he's going down that road.
No. Why? No.
Crazy. Crazy. All right, tomorrow, Friday, we got a little Fitzy in the house. We got Mike Lombardi at 4 o'clock. Nick Costos making some money over the weekend. That's at 5:30. We'll be back at it. Enjoy tonight, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow at 2.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.